Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Gateway Episodes. I am your host, Derek McDuff. This is a show where we talk about famous TV shows or interesting TV shows, and through the lens of we kind of watch one episode of the show that would serve as a gateway episode that, you know, kind of something that if you like watch this episode, you'll get into the show. So it can be a pilot. It's not all the time. Today, we're going to be actually talking about the show, one of the most famous shows of all time, Star Trek The Next Generation, and the person who is walking me through this gateway is my good friend, Grace Steele.
Hi!
And the episode that Grace chose for me was the episode Q Who, that's a little bit hard to say, and it is the Season 2, Episode 16. So just to give you guys a little bit of my personal history with Star Trek The Next Generation, it's, you know, as a lot of people who are nerdy like me are familiar with it, I know Star Trek pretty well. Growing up as a kid, I actually watched some of the movies. I remember I had Star Trek First Contact recorded on VHS. And I would watch that a lot. I actually grew up with Star Trek Voyager because I was kind of more of the right age to watch Voyager because I was pretty young. I was like 4 or 5 when The Next Generation ended, but I was kind of like between 7 and 10 or something when Voyager was on. So I was kind of like watching that with my parents every week. So I never really got into kind of like The Next Generation, which is kind of, I would say, you know, between that and the original series, kind of the most iconic and famous Star Trek thing. And I did eventually try and get into it, as an adult, and I watched the first season, and it really, I was not a fan of it. It really didn't do it for me. So I did think of eventually, like, oh, you know, I it's something that I kind of like, maybe I'll get more into it, maybe I just have to watch later on, because I heard it gets better later on. And when I started the show, I knew that Grace was a really big fan of Star Trek, and I kind of asked her to be on the show, hoping she might suggest Star Trek, and she did. So I was really happy about that. But Grace, why don't you, before we really get too much into the episode, how do you know Star Trek? How did you get into all this?
So my answer is a little bit disappointing because most of my answer is, I don't really know. but I remember like 10 years ago was the first time I watched anything that had to do with Star Trek at all. And it was the first episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. And I hated it and turned it off after like 5 minutes and I couldn't stand it. So I completely relate to your initial reaction. Later, because I'd heard so many people whose opinions I trust and, you know, people I love and care about, like, swear by this show. So eventually, probably, that was 10 years ago when I first tried to watch it. And then it was probably like 5 years ago that I actually sat down and was like, okay, I'm just going to like sit here and watch it. People say it gets good around like halfway through season 2, about season 3. I'm just going to force myself through it. I'm going to do it. It helped that I was going to college at that time and I wanted to procrastinate my schoolwork. So I had an excuse because I was trying to watch Star Trek. So I did that. I plowed through it. And sure enough, about halfway through season 2 and then really at the start of season 3, I very much got into it. And then it became one of my most favorite TV shows of all time. That being said, I have not watched anything else in the Star Trek world. I have not watched any of the other shows. I think I've seen the movies, like the newer movies, but I don't actually know. The only thing that I'm familiar with in the Star Trek world is Star Trek The Next Generation, but I love it. I'm a very, very devoted fan.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, no, and that's, you know, kind of something that I heard a lot too was like, oh, you got to stick with it. It gets good. Like, you know, I heard that same thing, like season 3, midpoint of season 2, which is, this episode is, you know, very middle of season 2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the first appearance of the Borg, who, for me, are so iconic and connected to kind of Star Trek because they were the main bad guy in the First Contact movie. They were really kind of like the big overarching kind of like thing that they would deal with every week in Voyager. Like, there was one of the crewmates was a former Borg, and they were like trying to rehabilitate her, and the bad guys were always showing up at the Borg, and they were always talking about, oh, they've adapted, they've assimilated, blah blah blah, you know. So I thought
I'm supposed to be getting you to step through the gateway on the Next Generation, but you're probably going to get me to step through the gateway on some of these other things, because I've never seen them.
Well, yeah, I think if you like, you know, I think you and I might like be in, kind of intrigued by the same things about Next Gen, like Star Trek stuff, you know, because I think the Borg are very interesting villains, you know.
They're fascinating. And yeah. That's why I love this episode so much, because it's like their first introduction, and then several other reasons that I'm sure we'll get into.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, because they're kind of like these bad guys that just kind of like take the, you know, like the parts of the people they're assimilating and just kind of like use them and just adapt to different situations. They're very resourceful and interesting and just kind of like, how do you even fight
and
this?
Scary.
You know? Yeah, they are very scary. So it was really cool to see them, because, you know, I feel like the antagonists in season one were kind of like hokey and just kind of jokes, like
completely.
Like, when, you know, like I was talking about how the one thing I really did like in season one was the character of Tasha Yar, who I wasn't familiar with because she wasn't in any of the movies, because this is going to be a small spoiler. But if, you know, she's not around in the movies because she dies, and the episode where I watched up until she died, and that's when I was like, okay, I'll at least get to see what happens with her. And like, she dies in the most boring anticlimactic way.
Oh, it's so
way.
Stupid. Yeah.
It's just like, and it's just like this really bad cheesy B villain that feels like it's from like a rejected draft from like the original 60s Star
mm-hmm.
Trek show.
Yeah. It's real bad the way that she dies.
But yeah, this was a lot more kind of just like interesting, and like the villains are more philosophical. And Q, I think, is an interesting character. He was one of the kind of people from season one that I kind of liked. I liked how him and Guinan kind of have like this rivalry, and like they're kind of
Guinan.
Yeah,
they're
kind of like these immortal-ish beings. We're kind of like, you know, they're all kind of manipulating different things, and they're kind of like, you know, all the Enterprise crew are just like, okay, what's going on with you guys? You guys both know a lot of shit and you don't trust each other. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really liked it. So I want to ask you, Grace, what made you choose? I know we kind of touched on a little bit. What made you be like, this is the gateway episode that Derek is going to walk through?
Okay. So, well, the first thing is that the first episode I chose, you didn't like. So I figured that probably wasn't the one to go with. So I chose this one, which I was actually going back and forth between the first one that I chose and this one for different reasons. I chose this one because I think that you get a really good idea of what the show is all about, kind of on a philosophical level with this mm-hmm. one. You get the real triumphant and beautiful sense of life of everybody that's on the Enterprise. You get their sense of dedication to their cause. They fight for, you know, or not fight usually because they're on a mission of peace, but mm-hmm. they're dedicated to peace and to freedom and individuality. And then that is you know, shown in stark opposition to the Borg, which are the complete opposite in every single way. This contrast is illustrated so perfectly because there are no individuals in the Borg. They mm-hmm. are completely 100% synthetic. And the only thing that they care about is taking in the technology of the races that they come in contact with. And so you get to see this really stark contrast that really throws into great, what's the word I'm looking for? Relief. It throws into great relief the values of the Federation. It just feels so, you know, triumphant. You're like, oh yeah, that's what I identify with. So it just it really shows you a great idea of what it means to be human, and that's a really happy thing to see, especially in this universe that's so far removed from our own, this futuristic mm-hmm. world. In addition to that, I'm going to be talking a lot about contrast in when I discuss this episode, because there's a lot of really interesting dynamics that come out of the contrast in this episode. You even touched on earlier the difference between Q and Guinan, and in a lot of ways, the differences between Picard and Q, Picard and Guinan and Picard and the Borg. You kind of get this really interesting dynamic that results from just the complete differences between these four aspects of the show. Like Q is this really chaotic, kind of jovial, weird guy who's just like, he doesn't really think anything is sacred, and he's also kind of goofy. So then as a result, you get him just like throwing caution to the wind and being, and he's also super powerful. So that results in some horrifying and also kind of funny circumstances.
He's almost like a trickster god a little bit.
He's exactly like a trickster god. That's a really good way to put it. And then you get Guinan, who's like really, really powerful and old. And she kind of has that ancient wise feel to her, but she, you know, she holds things to be very sacred. So she's the polar opposite of Q. And then kind of right in between, you get Picard, who is, you know, I say this with air quotes, but you can't see me. He's like the puny human in between them, who has this great devotion toward freedom and human life. And then completely opposite of him, you have the Borg with no human life. Nothing is sacred because nothing, they can't value anything because they're completely synthetic. So these oppositions that you get are make for a really interesting conflict. And me being a literature teacher, I really cling to that because those are, I'm really attracted to that because those are the exact kinds of things that I look for in like the books that I teach to my students and the things that I'm gravitated towards in my career, in my life. So I think that that's a really good starting point for what I find intriguing about this episode. There's a lot more that I could say, but I've been talking for a long time, so I'm gonna stop.
No, like that's a really good way of putting it. You know, and obviously, you know, like more about, you know, kind of the like where this develops and goes and stuff, which is what I thought was really interesting, because this does feel like this is an episode that is a major turning point in the series, not just because it introduces this villain
completely,
because it's like this is, you know, like Q literally kind of says to him, he's like, yeah, you've been dealing with some stuff that you think is really like, oh, this is crazy. You know, you've got the Romulans and the Ferengi and stuff. But he's like,
you don't even know
what's out there. I'm just going to shoot you a couple light years this way. I'm going to really show you like what's up in the parts of the galaxy that you don't know about
fascinating is that he's doing this. He's showing them exactly how incapable and insignificant they are while asking to be a part of them. He wants to join the crew, which is why he's there. And so he's trying to intimidate Picard into letting him be on the crew. And the way that he does that is by showing him how insignificant humans are in the grand scheme of things. And I think that's crazy.
And it really does feel like, you know, they are like turning this page, because it starts out with kind of like, oh, here's another mission and it's hokey and here's a new recruit. You know, here's this new red shirt and she spills some coffee on Picard. And it's kind of like, and then it's just like, nope, like Picard gets on that shuttle and it's like things are different now. Like it really feels like there is no going back to how it was before.
Which, and by the way, you mentioned the new red shirt. She, I think, is actually one of the reasons this makes a good gateway episode, because like, let's say you'd never heard of any, like, what's Star Trek? I don't know what that is. And you come in completely fresh. She's the newbie on board. And so you kind of see the first couple scenes through her eyes. And that's how you realize like, oh, this is like, this is the Enterprise. That is the Captain Picard. Like people throughout the series refer to him as the Picard. And when she like spills the hot chocolate on him and she's like, oh, Captain, I'm sorry. She's like wiping it with her hands. I know that like being experienced with the Star Trek world, that's just kind of like a hokey little moment that doesn't matter that much. But as a gateway episode, I think that that's a really good introduction to like just like how special the Enterprise and the Picard are.
Yeah, no, that like, because honestly, when I was watching it, and she was saying all like, she's like, oh, I did all this to like, because I wanted to get this assignment. And it's like, you know, like I've seen like through the other Star Trek stuff I've seen, it's like kind of the Enterprise is like, you know, the just ship that people went on about, but I kind of like, I kind of had forgotten or like hadn't like it really like thought about like, oh yeah, this is like, these are like the best of the best. Like these, like this is where everybody wants to be. And like Picard is like the guy, and like, he's a celebrity. He's not just like, you know, like whoever out in the world. It's not like,
he's not just the bald guy on the Enterprise. He means something.
Exactly. Like, so it does kind of give you like, it builds up the, like, yeah, these are, like, the best people in the entire Federation. and they can't even contend with this Borg shit. Like this, and it's, and the way it ends is like, yeah,
that's
they get
what
away.
Raises the stakes is mm-hmm. knowing exactly how important the Enterprise is. It's the flagship, knowing exactly how great Picard is. He's the greatest captain. Mm-hmm. And then you see him face the Borg and you're like, oh, and even they can't handle this? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You better run, right?
It really does, like, ratchet up those stakes, because they, like, are like, okay, we, like, got away by the skin of our teeth to the Borg, like, some of our people died, like, this is going to be a thing for seasons, you know, like, where this is mm-hmm. going to be, like, because they're out there, like, it doesn't end with, like, okay, now, like, you know, like, we're
now
fighting the Borg.
We defeated them.
They're defeated, or, like, you know, now, like, we're going to have to, like, it's like, no, they're still out there somewhere. They're going to show up. We don't know when, which is almost more unnerving than, like, if they were just here now and that's what we have to contend with. It's like, they're right. going to come back and it's going to be at some point in the future. So that's, I think, is really interesting. And one more thing.
And
I want
if
to
you listen closely mm-hmm. in the episodes that follow that, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but I don't think it's that bad. Mm-hmm. They do come back, obviously, because you've talked about how they come back in, like, other series and movies and stuff. But it takes a long time in the show for them to come back, like, a really long time. And, like, you kind of forget about them unless you're paying really close attention, because there are little tiny hints sprinkled through the background of the show. If you listen really closely, you can hear news of colonies being decimated, spaceships disappearing, and you know where they go.
Ooh, that's really cool. That's really cool.
You have to pay really, really close attention.
Mm-hmm. I love that kind of stuff. I honestly, I love it. That's so my good. Favorite thing. Like,
it really rewards you for paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Like, paying attention, or you go back on a rewatch and like, oh shit, that's what that was. You know, like I absolutely adore that. But like, it kind of like, and it brings up like what you were saying about like this. Just to backtrack a little bit about like the Enterprise being like the ship. Which is something that I found like an interesting contrast to like Voyager, because like Voyager isn't special because they're the ship. They're special because some crazy shit happens to them and they end up on the other side of the galaxy. And they're just like, we're just trying to like get back home. And so this is like it's interesting because like these are the guys. Like they're not like, this isn't like some like interesting overarching story where they're like, you know, like these just happen to be whoever. These are like the people. These are the main. This is like, you know, you might watch like Daredevil like on, you know, Netflix and have like, he's like a cool, interesting hero. But like, this is Captain America. This is the whole, these are the Avengers you're watching, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, that I thought was really interesting for sure.
Yeah, you're going to get me watching that now.
Excellent.
Maybe we'll both succeed in stepping through different gateways in this episode.
It's a double gateway. There was a secret gateway within the gateway.
This episode of your podcast is like an episode of Star Trek with the A plot and the B plot. The A plot is me trying to get you watch The Next Generation. The B plot is you getting me to watch Voyager.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's perfect.
The secret B plot.
But yeah, so I really did enjoy this episode. And I, you know, I've kind of heard this term of the, tell me if you ever heard the term growing the beard.
Oh my god, I love that term. Okay. I love it so much. Do you mind if I explain it?
Yes, go for it, please.
Okay. So in the first season of Star Trek The Next Generation, there's a, well, he goes throughout the whole series. He's not just in the first season, but there's Commander Riker, who's the first commander on the Starship Enterprise, and he is this clean-shaven youth, and he's, you know, really like, he's a go-getter, and that's really clear in the first episode. And then just out of nowhere, at the start of season two, he has this beard. And then it continues to grow throughout the rest of the show. So because the show is notoriously not extremely good in the first season and a half, it only gets good kind of along the lines of when his beard gets really bushy. There is a term that is, you know, growing the beard. That means like getting better, getting wiser and stronger. Like, so the term is like, wait until it grows a beard. Wait until it gets better. It comes from Star Trek. Wait until about a season and a half, and then it's better.
Yep. You know, because it's the opposite of jumping the shark. You know, like
exactly.
In the Happy Days, you could tell when Happy Days got bad because it was after, you know, Fonzie jumps that shark. And this, it's the opposite. You can tell when Star Trek is good. Because
Riker has a beard.
Yeah, and it, Was it the star?
Which is so funny because I had such a crush on Riker in the first season. Uh-huh. And when I was first watching, I was like, oh, he's very handsome. And then when he grew the beard, I was upset. I was like, that does not look good. But now when I look back on season one, Riker, I'm like, ew, you're a little boy.
That's funny. Was it the beginning? Because I had heard that it was the midpoint of season two because they had to stop production because there was a writer's strike that year. And that's also incidentally why that's season two is the shortest season. It's four seasons shorter because they had to. So I think that.
So I'm often wrong. I tell my students I'm the Michael Jordan of being wrong. I think that the beard just shows up season two, episode one, but I could be wrong about that.
All right. Well, either way, yeah, you can tell definitely like, okay, things have changed now. There's a physical indication of the quality of the show, like from, mm-hmm. And that's why, because when I watched, because I want to say, I don't think he had, because originally we had talked about watching a different episode, which was the first episode of season two, and mm-hmm. I that was not really,
and he had a beard in that one, I thought.
Did he? Okay, he might have. I don't know. I thought
we don't need to argue about whether or not he had a beard. I think he did, but yeah. I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong if I'm wrong.
I might very well be wrong, but yeah, there's definitely that kind of like, you know, like, hey, like, and when I turned this episode on, I was like, okay, cool. He's got the beard. I'm in for this. I'm excited. Like, I know that's the thing. So yeah.
This is a thing in our culture.
Yeah. And it's based
Riker has
this.
The beard. We're probably going to be okay.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think he like shaves his beard in one of the later movies when like the movies aren't good anymore. Like has it.
Oh,
in
that's
first contact.
Hilarious. Are you serious? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, definitely was really into this episode. And so one other thing I wanted to ask you is when we were talking about this and I was like, okay, give me like a gateway episode. And you told me, you're like, okay, I'm going to give you something from season two. You said you were determined to get me an episode from season two to watch. Why specifically did you want to do that?
So that's a good question. I like that question. So I was determined to get something from season two and not from season three because I think there's a lot of good to be found in the earlier seasons. Even in season one, when I look back on it, I actually really, I like it now. The first time I watched it, I didn't. But now that I have an appreciation for the show as a whole, when I look back on season one, there are certainly things about it that I appreciate a whole lot, like Tasha Yar, who you mentioned before. So when I was thinking about a gateway episode, I was determined to pick one as early as possible, just because if someone is going to start watching the series at a certain point and like skip a bit, they're obviously not going to start in season one, but there is a lot of stuff early on in the show that's really valuable. Unfortunately, you miss out on Tasha Yar if you start in the middle of season two, because I think she dies like end of season one, beginning of season two.
It's end of season one, because I remember that's
okay,
the
yeah,
point
I
watched
so.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. So you miss out on her, but you get a lot of the other like kind of character background that's really interesting. You do miss a really good Data episode if you start at this point, but I figure if you get interested at this point, you keep watching all the way to the end, then you're more likely to go back and watch the beginning of it. And after having seen the whole series, you probably go into it with more appreciation like I feel now looking back on those earlier seasons. Does that make sense?
No, that makes total sense because, and it's something that I've actually talked to you about in real life, like we're in a simulation right now on the podcast. This podcast isn't real life, whatever. But
Guests aren't real.
Right. It's just things you put on and they go in your ears. But and it was about Lost. And this is a conversation I've had with a few people about how I know that you and a lot of people kind of fell off in Lost in the beginning of season three. As much as that's probably the worst stuff in Lost, I still like, you know, I wouldn't ever want to miss it. You know?
Yeah, because it still
and
adds into that atmosphere mm-hmm. of the show that you love. And that's kind of how I feel about season one.
Too. Yeah, exactly. It's the same kind of thing. And I would never tell anybody to skip it because it's going to be like, you know, even if you get through to the back half of season three, which is incredible, in my opinion, like mm-hmm. I wouldn't say like you'll miss out on so much interesting character stuff and like all these dynamics that mm-hmm. kind of are a little bit slower and a little bit of a slog, but if you get through them, there's a lot of great stuff on the other side.
And then it's made better by having that context that came mm-hmm. earlier on. Exactly. That's how I feel about season one. There's one episode in particular, and I forget exactly where it falls. I believe it's towards the end of season two. I cry every time I watch it. It's one of the best episodes in the whole show, and which is another reason why I needed to pick one that was in the middle of season two.
Right.
Because you can't miss that episode. But if you don't know the whole Tasha Yar storyline, I mean, that episode runs the risk of falling flat, and it's one of the best episodes. So it's like, I feel like it'd be sacrilege to just not know who she was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So by picking one that she's not in as the gateway episode, I'm kind of selling the show short a little bit, but my hope is that if someone hears this and decides to watch Star Trek starting from the episode that I recommend, they'll watch the whole thing. They'll see that episode with that I'm talking about that comes a little bit later in season two. And they'll be like, oh my gosh. And then they'll just go back and watch season one so that they have the full context. And then they'll watch that again and be like, oh my gosh. And they'll cry like I do.
No, I definitely gotta check that episode out too. Cause Tasha Yar was really interesting. I do think you've got me with the gateway. I'm going to be stepping through the gateway. Although I will say that there are 170 episodes of Star Trek.
It's going to take a while.
I might jump around a bit. I might be like, okay, I'm going to watch these episodes. I might skip a little bit because I remember when I was first watching season one and I was like, they're like, oh, you just people are like, you got to get through the bad episodes. And I was like, what are the bad episodes? And people are like, season one and most is a good chunk of season two. And I was like, that's almost 40 episodes. That's
a lot of time.
That's more episodes than a lot of, that's more episodes than I think The Leftovers. That's more episodes than
than most shows ever make, period.
Exactly. I don't want to watch 40 bad episodes so I can get to 120 good episodes, you know?
I completely understand. And I really think that if I were not procrastinating my college schoolwork, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, because there's even shows that are it's because interesting because shows now are their seasons are so much shorter. The seasons back then tended to be about 30 episodes. Except for this one, they're all 26 episodes, all seven seasons of Next Generation. Now seasons are typically 10 to 13 episodes, which I think is something that personally I enjoy a lot because it's a lot okay, there's not what do we do this week? How do we feel? We're telling the story and it's going to complete cohesively. And
the big difference is that back then we just watched TV so differently. Most shows were just completely episodic. You didn't need to watch the previous episode in order to understand and appreciate the current one. Whereas mm-hmm. now, the way that season arcs are set up, first they're season arcs, which didn't used to be a thing.
Yeah.
But the way that they're set up is there'll be multiple storylines, but they'll kind of the storyline will end in the middle of an episode and then you get left on a cliffhanger because the next story arc has started and they end the episode in the middle of that one. Mm. Just the way that it's structured is so different now. I think that kind of lends itself to the shorter seasons. Whereas with a show like Star Trek, it is more episodic because of, the time that it comes from and other reasons, I think. But I think it makes more sense to have the longer seasons in that case.
Yeah, no, because if it is kind of just especially, with this one and then, the original Star Trek, it's okay, it's kind of the premises. We're going to a planet and what's on the planet, or we're going to do a mission and each mission is its own kind of their own thing, rather than telling an overarching story. But there are long arcs in this, the Borg stuff, that is an arc that exists,
right? They come back, they return. So I think this show kind of exists on the borderline of when those things started to happen more often. And I'm not super well versed in the history of TV shows, so maybe this is all crap that is coming out of my mouth, in my experience, it seems like this show is kind of on the borderline between shows that are completely episodic and shows that have more story arcs that last over multiple episodes. Because you do have things that come back even like seasons away from each other.
Yeah, no, and I think that a lot of the shows like this, all of the kind of like sci-fi shows in the 90s were doing that. Mm-hmm. Like this, obviously, the X-Files is another show where it's like, okay, what's the X-File this week? You know, like what monster are we investigating? But there's also like the longer story of like alien invasions. Then there's, of course, like stuff like Twin Peaks, which is, you know, a big overarching story, but there would be kind of like these little things that would go on in every episode. See, so
hearing you talk about this stuff is so funny to me because I like, we just didn't have TV when I was a kid. Like I only watched movies. We just like didn't have cable. And so like all of the shows that I like, all of the older shows that I've watched as an adult. So when I look at Star Trek, I don't actually know what years that was on TV. Like, I'm just kind of like, oh, it looks old. So I just like categorize it as old. And like with X-Files, like I remember people talking about that when I was like a little kid. So I'm like, that was like less old, right? But it sounds like maybe they were on TV at about the same time.
Yeah, they were both. Because I want to say that I think that Next Gen was like 89. It premiered and it went to like 94.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, I was born in 92, so.
Oh, no, 87 it started, and it went to 94. Okay.
Wow, so it was then, on for a long time.
Yeah, X-Files went from the mid-90s to, I want to say, it ended in 2002 the first time, and then it came back later on, you know, obviously really recently.
Right.
But, yeah. So, you know, like, a lot of the kind of, like, sci-fi of the 90s, and even like other stuff like adventure stuff like Xena and, you know, where they would have kind of like these just they were Monster of the Week shows or Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But they would also have these longer storylines that were kind of like almost hidden in them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Because it still had to be episodic. Like there had to be something for like the weekly watcher who wasn't necessarily tuning in every single week.
Exactly. Because like the thing back then was like, okay, you know, TV is so just like you just turn it on. Like there was no like DVRs or like, you know, anything
like
that. Or
Netflix. Exactly. Where you just like watch for hours on end.
Yeah. So if you miss an episode and it's a longer overarching story, that's, you know, you're out of luck. That's why, you know, Twin Peaks only lasted two seasons because it did become very much like this is a story. And if you miss an episode, what's going on with, you know, this character,
you're not going to really like coming back to the rest of the story because you're not going to know what's going on.
Exactly. But they would like sneak in these like bigger plots in these shows like Star Trek and stuff like that. And then, you know, later on when it became more easy and accessible to kind of like revisit stuff, particularly in the early 2000s, you know, you have your shows like Lost and like shows like, you know, on like premiere like stuff on HBO and stuff like that, and Game of Thrones would kind of come like later from that, that are just telling these larger overarching stories. And interestingly, I know I keep bringing up Lost, but Fringe
was
kind
of favorite.
It is my favorite. but Fringe was actually made as like a result of like people watching Lost and being like, okay, like I don't know what's going on this week, and people would fall off because it was kind of like right there on the border where it was like starting to like there were ways you could like what you could watch on like abc.com if you miss an episode, or you could record it, but it wasn't mainstream yet, you know. And
yeah,
so Fringe
just a little
was
bit
made
of Fringe when it was on.
Yeah, so Fringe was made as kind of like a direct result of that, like the same some like JJ Abrams and like kind of that crew who was involved in like early season one of Lost. So not Damon Lindelof or any of those guys, but they were like, okay, we're going to make a show where you can just like watch every week, and each week is like, here's this monster of the week, here's this. And it eventually did become like have a kind of a deeper overarching mythology and plot, but it's...
Yeah, because that's what I remember, because I wasn't watching every week, so
yeah,
I didn't know what's going on, so I stopped.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's and you know, you can really see the groundwork laid for how TV is now. And me like being such a fan of like serialized storytelling, and you know, I'm watching going through Hannibal right now, which if you would just watch, like, it's the, you know, shout out to Alan who, you know, did an earlier Gateway episode and got me into it. I'm almost done with it now. Like if I just watched an episode of Hannibal, it would be fucking nonsense, you know.
You have to watch the whole thing.
Exactly. Like even the Gateway episode he gave me, well, like I think it did a really good job, but it was kind of tough to pick one of those because it is, like, especially in season two onwards, so, like...
Oh, he didn't pick the first episode.
He did not, yeah. He picked, I want to say...
That must have been really hard.
So it was, because season one is a little bit more like Killer of the Week, where like they're investigating a different killer every week, and then it kind of becomes like, you know, they're just searching for Hannibal after that in like season two. Yeah. So he did a really good job at picking a good gateway episode. And of course, I got to say, you did a great job picking a gateway episode too, because it is like, you were like showing me like, it's moving on from the stuff you didn't like that stuff. It's still important. It still matters. But like, this is where the show is going now. Cause I'd seen actually, interestingly enough, the last episode of Star Trek, and I'd seen like stuff on TV, like randomly, like not whole episodes, but like I'll be flipping channels. I'll be like, oh, sci-fi, it's on. I'll just like watch for a little bit. You know, so knowing where the franchise and the series goes, like, I was really intrigued with that. So good, great. I loved it. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I will accept that compliment. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to, like, you know, have to, like, get more into it and, like, watch some more of the Borg stuff. Like, I don't know if I'm going to go watch all 170 episodes of it anytime soon, but I'm going to definitely, like, sit down.
You're going
like,
to start making your way through that. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. And we can talk about it as you go through it. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But just remember that Picard is my boyfriend.
Damn. Okay. I won't steal him.
I won't steal him. I just have to put that out there.
But, I mean, if that's the case, then Tasha Yar gets to be my girlfriend. So.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. We're agreed.
We're agreed.
I don't know. Any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Just that this was so much fun. I love talking about Star Trek. And so to think that you get to like record me talking about Star Trek and that other people can hear me talk about Star Trek and that the potential for the number of people who can hear me talk about Star Trek is just infinite. That makes me really happy.
I'm really glad. I'm having a lot of fun. And I was so glad because I like when I threw it to you, I was like, oh yeah. Do you want to do a game? And I was like, please say Star Trek. And of course you were like, yeah, Star Trek. And I was like, good. I'm going to have somebody.
I think within like less than a second, I was like, yeah, can we do Star Trek? You were like, yes.
So yeah, it worked out perfectly. But yeah, I had a lot of fun recording. I don't know. Anything you wanted to shout out or mention, Grace?
If you want to talk about Star Trek with me, you can visit my website and send me a little message through there. It's Grace Steele, STEEL. Sorry, I spelled my own last name wrong. STEELE.net. And send me a little message through there. We can talk about Star Trek. It'll be fun.
Yeah, hit her up. Everybody out there listening, if you guys love Star Trek TNG, let her know. Tell her she should watch Voyager.
While you're there, you can read about me teaching children's literature if you're interested, but that's probably not your thing, so we can talk about Star Trek.
That's cool too, like, hey, you know. Yeah, but thank you guys. If you liked what you've heard, definitely, you know, check out Grace's website. You know, check out the other episodes of this podcast if this is the first one you're listening to because you're a big Star Trek fan. You know, and you know, if you guys want to subscribe, that would be cool, you know, like no pressure, but that would be great.
I'm giving you a little bit of pressure. Support my friend.
Thank you, Grace. Yeah, also, you know, go check out, I've got this other podcast called Underrated, where me and a few friends talk about underrated movies. We call
ourselves It's Really Good.
Cast Company. Thank you. I'm blushing. You can't see, but I'm blushing. But yeah, thank you so much, Grace, for being on it. And thanks all the listeners out there for listening.
Thank you, Derek. This was lots of fun.
I'll see you all in another life.
Bye.